Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock on a Saturday, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. Sorry we've not been here the last couple of weeks. I've been traveling around the country, but we are back every Saturday with a Talk Magic. And coming back, we need to come back with a bang. We need to come back with someone we can interview that is a legend in the magic community. Somebody whose reputation precedes them. Somebody who everybody knows and everybody loves. Unfortunately, that person wasn't available, so we managed to find at last minute Wayne Goodman, who is a good friend of mine, an incredible creator, an incredible inventor, probably got more variations of the 8-card brainwave plot than any person on the face of the planet. He has literally written a book on magic, on comedy, restaurants, weddings, comparing, you name it, he's done it. And he's got some exciting news to share. I interviewed Wayne a couple of years ago on this channel, but it was in the middle of COVID where everybody was sitting around, not able to leave their house. Things have changed for Wayne a lot in the last couple of years. We're going to have a catch up, find out what's going on in his life and what's coming up in the future. Mr. Wayne Goodman, how are you?
Morning, morning. That was a hell of an intro. I'm going to take that cut in, just use it in all my shows now.
You should do, man. But you're a legend, man. You're a legend. And your legacy continues to grow. That's the cool thing about it.
I was going to say, I think it's important. I was at a lecture last night, doing a lecture, and I always close my lecture off with a little thing about saying, be yourself and grow and expand. And I think that's the best advice you can have. If you can... even little tiny things. Like, I've changed my glasses recently. I've got these blue glasses now. They're a bit more fun than the boring. I do get a lot of Alan Carr comments, but it's a lot nicer than just the boring old black pair that I had before. And it's simple things like that. If you can just adapt and change yourself and move forward, then horizons expand. You're able to, you're constantly growing. I've always said that, it doesn't matter if you go forward or you go back a little bit or you go sideways. As long as you're moving, you're doing the right thing. Sometimes you have to go back a little bit and then to come forward again. Sometimes you leap forward loads. Sometimes you go sideways a bit and then carry on. As long as you keep going and keep moving, you're getting better, and things will always work out for you. I think that's how I like to be.
I agree. And here's the thing. I encourage anybody here that's watching this interview to go back to look at your first interview that you did on Talk Magic about 3 years ago. It was in the middle of COVID. It was very uncertain. We didn't know what the future of the entertainment industry was. And we spent a long time talking about your past. We talked about your life at the House of Secrets, getting into magic, working, in Spain, coming back to the UK, how you went from where you started to kind of where you ended up. And it was an incredible interview. And we talked about some of the awesome tricks that you've released over the years, including Look Sharp, which I think many people say is probably, if we had to put together a top five of the best tricks that Alakazam have ever created, everybody would put that in the list. I've told you many, many times, I love that trick. And it's an interview everyone should look at. But I wanted to interview you because over the last 3 years, since we did that last interview and COVID has gone away and the world has opened up, you've kind of really, I don't want to say you've reinvented yourself because you've always been who you are, but you've started kind of really focusing on creating. You've really focused on producing magic. You have a role in Alakazam whilst continuing to be just as busy as a performer at the same time, because a lot of people, when they go into creating, they take a step back from performing, but you've kept everything going and it's incredible. So I want to talk about that. So Let's talk first of all about Alakazam. You're sitting around in COVID. You're now a key part of the Alakazam team. How did that come about? Where did that come from?
Where it all started, really, and before I say anything else, I just want to say thank you to Peter and Harry and the rest of Team Alakazam for the trust they've put in me and continue to give me and the support. I mean, Peter has been amazing. I'm very lucky. I've got you, I've got my friend Tom, Circus Dan, I call him now, and obviously the Alakafam, and the amazing support that all of you guys continue to give me. Before we started recording, we were talking about a new trick that I'm working on, and you've given me some great advice on that. And it's that, and I try and give back as much as I can as well, because that's how the community grows. You know, if you're not honest and you don't help each other, then the community becomes stagnant and then dies off. So it's very important for that. I was watching during the lockdown. I was watching an Alakazam live, and at the time they were inviting people to go on a Zoom call and they could ask live questions and stuff. So I went onto the. I said, "Yeah, I'll jump on. I'll come and say hello." And I went on, and Pete was like, "Oh, Wayne's on. Let's get him on." So they brought me up onto the screen. I was talking and stuff, and a bit of a laugh. And then it became a bit of a regular thing. Every week, Peter would put me on. I was doing a lot of Zoom shows at the time as well. So I'd go on and talk about the Zoom shows and the lectures. And Pete was doing lectures as well. We were getting up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to do a lecture in America from our dining room. So the time difference and stuff. And then Pete sent me a couple of tricks to play with and have a look at. And it kind of just grew from there. And then they started the Discord, which I then kind of took over. And continue to, I mean, I monitor it every day, and it just grew and grew. And then Peter offered me a position in the company. It's like a very low level position. I'm part of the team, but I work remotely. I'm not down at HQ. And then I started. My job now really is on a lot of customer support. They opened the American warehouse with Chris James, and me and Chris basically run the chat support, because it's important. It's not like a normal chat support thing. You know, if you go on there and you want to know about a specific trick, etc., you want a magician to be able to answer that question. So, me and Chris do all that, and it's really good. And I'm working on new tricks with them and helping with product development. I became the face of the Amazing Magic range, which was an amazing honor, and a lot of trust was put into me to that, and it's just really good. And I've never really felt part of a team before. I was in a team in Spain at House of Illusion, but I was always outside the team because I was a part owner, I was a manager, and a lot of the time in Spain I worked in other resorts, so I was part of the team but outside the team. Whereas with this, you know, it's really lovely. If I've got a problem, I phone up. I speak to the shop every day. You know, we have a good laugh and a chat. I go down there two or three times a month if I can. We do filming. We have a laugh. I do the lives. And it's just a lovely, wonderful, wonderful thing. And Peter is amazing. He's a great guy. We've got a great team. We've got Jamie Dawes on board now. And then on the fringes of the team, we've got people who are constantly at the shop or working, such as yourself and Ryland, who are just as much a part of the Alakazam.
And Nemid's handling a lot of the trailers for.
Nemid's really knocking it out of the park with the trailers. His trailers are amazing. I've never known such a smiley, happy guy. I love Nemid. I really do. And do you know what? It's funny because Nemid is very much, in my opinion, a lot of people know but don't know Andy, who works at the shop. They know who he is, but a lot of people don't know a lot about him. And he is one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met. If I want to know something about a trick, or I need a new force, or I need to credit or something like that, I will go to Andy every time. And not only is he amazingly patient with me and my constant demands for information, etc., he's also the loveliest guy you'll ever meet. He's so lovely. And Nemid is the same. He's got this brush, you know, grumpy thing, but he's a soft teddy bear underneath that. But he's also incredibly knowledgeable and incredibly entertaining. I've said this quite a few times. I don't think he said it on the... Well, I didn't say it on the last interview because it hadn't happened. I'm losing my voice a little bit. I do apologise. Everyone's happy about that. I phoned up them one day to have a little chat with him. I didn't know he was working, and he was at a kid's show. And instead of cancelling the call, he just hit the phone and he answered the call. And I was like, "You all right, Nem?" And all of a sudden I hear this noise and I can hear he's doing a show and he's accidentally answered the call. So I can hear the show. And I listened for about 5 minutes to this kid show and I can hear him doing all the gags and all the stuff. And I can hear the kids reacting. I've never heard such great reactions and responses. And it's a Nemed that you don't see. It's a Nemed that you don't, you know, when you see him on the videos and stuff. And it was just amazing. When I saw him at Rugeley, at the show that we always do in February, the one that you do for charity, I saw him do his routine. It's so funny. Yeah, but we'll come back to Nemed because he's going to be mentioned later on.
We're gonna come back to him. But yeah, and obviously off the back of all of this, you're now Peter Nardi's co-host on the Tuesday Alakazam Lives, which... It's really kind of a thing because of the growth that Alakazam are experiencing right now, which they are. I mean, they're huge. Because of that growth, that's been amazing for your brand because you're, in essence, the co-host of the flagship live show for what is becoming one of the biggest magic shops in the world.
And it's an amazing honor and privilege to be on the show. It really, really is. And it's just, it's always good fun. Me and Peter have always got on for many, many years, before Look Sharp came out. He came out to Spain when I was out there and with the family. And he's again, one of the loveliest guys in the world. I love Peter to bits. My daughter, Charlie. I'm now relegated to fourth favourite magician in Charlie's eyes. Ryland's number one, you're number two, and Peter's number three. To be fair, she does maneuver that around, but Ryland does gravitate to the number one spot. I think you and Peter interchange quite a lot, but yeah. And Peter's great with Charlie, and she loves him to bits, and Jenny, and the rest of the team. She loves coming down to the shop, and she's great. But to be the co-host on the show, yeah, is a massive privilege and honour, and we do take it seriously. It's a really important thing. I'm a big believer in the philosophy that you're only as good as your audience. So the shop is doing great. The shows are doing great. Jamie's knocking it out of the park with Unlimited and with all the online social stuff. Harry's knocking it out of the park with the social stuff. There is a lot of responsibility that comes. I don't want to say, look, we make it look easy because, you know, first of all, I'm not that arrogant, really, but... it's easy to do well when you're in a great team. When you've got people like Harry, who's amazing with social media, an amazing magician in his own right, a lovely guy. When you've got Andy, who is just, like I say, amazing. You've got Jamie knocking it out of the park with the videos and the games and the kid, Dad versus Lad and all these new content. You've got me and James on the chat. And me and James, we chat. Not every day, but most days or every few days, we have a good chat. And if we've got a customer who's been a bit awkward or something funny's come up in the chat, we're messing each other and having a laugh and, you know, supporting each other there. If he doesn't know an answer, if I'm not sure what, you know, we can chat to each other. And so it's very easy to really push whatever you're doing forward if you've got a good team around you. And that goes back as well to, like, you know, my new brand, my new shop that I'm doing with all my own material. Peter has helped me so much with everything. And you have, and Tom, and Dan, and my other friends around me as well, who, you know, they not criticise, what's the word? Constructive criticism, you know, that's good, but maybe the colours are wrong. Oh, that would be better if you change the wording there. And it's all that kind of stuff has enabled me to leap forward in some ways and miss potholes in the road by giving me that support. And it's really, so I think it's just really important to have good people around you, work part of the team. I've really gone off tangent on this one, haven't I?
No, you haven't. No, it's really good. And I'm glad you brought up the magic shop. That's another thing that you've done, right? And I want to delve into this because I've spoken on the channel many, many times about the fact that a lot of people that come into magic, they want to be a creator. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
When you're new into magic, you kind of put creators on a pedestal. Like, oh, if I could be the next Greg Wilson, if I could be the next Jay Sankey, if I could be the next Tobias Dostal. People put creators up on a pedestal, and very quickly when getting into magic, people are like, right, okay, I'm going to create a trick. And not many people actually get to the point where a trick does come out and they actually create it. Now, you've kind of put yourself into a situation, or worked hard to get yourself into a situation, where you're working with Alakazam. You've basically got Peter Nardi at your beck and call. If you pick up the phone, he'll answer you immediately. You've got a track record of tricks that have been commercially very successful, like Look Sharp. And yet, you go down the route of setting up your own magic shop. You're no longer on the Alakazam booth at somewhere like Blackpool. You've got your own booth instead, with you and Charlie running it. And a lot of the stuff that you're, well, all of the stuff that you're bringing out now isn't going through Alakazam. It's going through Wayne Goodman Magic Shop instead. So my question, even though you're the face of Alakazam in many ways, so that's kind of a weird situation. And my question to you, I've got several questions. So the first question is, why did you set up the magic shop? The second question is, how come you're releasing stuff through there and not through Alakazam? And the third question is, what advice can you give somebody who wants to be a creator? Because one of the questions I get an awful lot is, should I go through a company or should I go and produce it myself? And it's a difficult question for me to answer because I'm lazy. I've never produced a trick myself. What I like to do is I like to go, right, here's the idea, make it. Give it me when it's made, and I will do all the work for you, and I'll film it, and I'll do all of that. That's my job. Your job is to do all of the crap I don't like to do. It's why I work with production companies. It's why I don't like doing it myself. But you are uniquely positioned in that you've worked with places like Alakazam in the past. You have the option to work with them again anytime you want to, but a lot of the stuff you're doing at the moment is through your own brand. So there's a lot of questions there, but basically, you get the idea.
Before I answer, I'm just going to say something. That you're not in the position you think you are. So you just said there that you like to go to a production company and go, right, boom, do that. I'm not doing anything. You make it and then give it back to me, and I'll work the routines out, and then you take care of everything else. But even you've moved away from that a little tiny bit, because now you've got Nemed filming it and editing it and doing a lot of the trailers for people. So you've got no, so you've kind of moved a sidestep away from, oh, you're going to do everything. Well, actually, no, I'll let Nemed do the trailer. Yeah. And you are doing that yourself. And that's one small step in that direction. But it kind of happened by accident. Everything I put out, I showed to Peter, obviously. And I think it started off because I had a few silly little ideas, small ideas. It was during lockdown. And nowadays, it's a lot easier to... So take, for instance, my comedy insurance cards.
Yeah.
Great little gags, great little routines. Actually, no, even better than that. Let's look at my wristband joke.
Yeah.
Save the rubber tree. Yeah. You go back 5 years and these not being established as a charity because I do preferred rates for charities, just wanting them for myself would have cost me a couple of grand to get these made, to get the designs done and everything else done. You're looking at a couple of grand to get them made. And really a couple of grand before you even get a quantity, a couple of grand to get the setup done, and then another couple of grand to get them made. Well out of my possibility of reach without investing a lot into it and saving up for a long time to be able to do that, and just not viably possible. During the lockdown, but I had one made as a sample that I wore for 10 years. It was rubbish, but it worked. And then over lockdown, lots of companies were changing the way they worked and stuff, and it became more possible to do your own things. Printing became a lot easier to do yourself online without having to go through page setters. They've got now templates that you do all the stuff. So it was a lot easier for me. So I was playing around with a lot of tricks, and I like to have tricks that I can take to my lectures and go, oh, this is, you know, just a thing I've made for a lecture. So here we go. But a couple of little cheap tricks you can throw out, etc. And that's where it kind of started. Stuff that Peter wouldn't have been interested in, not good enough as a commercial release, maybe, but I've got one trick called Royal Brainwave that is a bit of a mare to make up and a lot involved with it. But it's a nice little variation on the Brainwave deck. And it's got a nice couple of little subtleties in it. And it's a lecture trick. It's something I would throw in a lecture to teach. Here's a new little method you can do. I came up with a way of rotating some cards in the middle of a deck that's completely flies that over the heads of the... Do you know what? Next time I'm down, we'll do it on the Netrix. I'll teach it on the Netrix. It's a lovely little thing. Stephen Leithwaite said it was one of the cleverest moves he's ever seen that flies. It's just great. So that's how it kind of started. And then, so I brought out like the Magician's Insurance cards, and I had those made up. And I had the comedy cards. So for years at my lectures, I've been selling the Scouse eye exam, AA, and the Geordie eye exam, YI. And it was one card printed on both sides. And they cost quite a bit to make up, but you know, you get a deck of them, you sell one each for a quid or something, and it was great. And then I just had to put a deck together, or not a deck, but a packet of 13 cards, the comedy card set one. And again, it's not something that Peter would necessarily be interested in or producing. And it was something that I could do myself, and I had a lot of fun. And I mean, you must know this anyway, but when you create something and you go through the process and you design the packaging for it, and you design all this, it's a bit addictive. It's a bit addictive. And you start going, and I'll be working on a trick. And it's not uncommon for me to wake up at 4 a.m. because my brain's just gone, that's your result. And I go downstairs and I've got to work on it then. It's a very addictive feeling. And then the trick started getting a bit bigger and a bit more. And again, I have a lovely and a great relationship with Alakazam and with Peter. And, you know, Pete's very open with me, and he says, I love it. We'll stock it, you know. So we have a good deal together. He'll stock my tricks and sell the tricks, and he makes off it and I make off it. I've never been really motivated by the money side of it. It's nice to bring in a bit of extra income, but and I'm going to be honest with you now, I've had some people say that trick's too cheap, and I'm like, maybe, but that's what I feel the price is right for that. Oh, you could get more for it. Yeah, I probably could, but you know what? I feel that's the right price for it. It's nice. So I show all my stuff to Peter, and if Peter said, that's great, I want that, then it's his straight away. But also, he knows that for me to build up my brand, and you know, every time I put out a new trick, it brings in, like last night, I mean, you got me two amazing lectures in the Midlands, because another lecturer had COVID and had to drop out very last minute. I stepped in last minute because you recommended me, and I did two great lectures. It was nice that I could take across a couple of new tricks, or a load of new tricks I've never lectured there before, do those for them. But even if it was a club I had done before, I could say to them, don't worry that you had me last year. I've got 5 new things I can show you. And it's just nice to be in that kind of position. Mm. The last part was, what advice would I give? That's really hard. And I think it would depend on where you are in your magical journey. And there are people, who's the guy that did Fall? What's his name? Drop.
Thomas.
A lovely guy, really nice guy, great trick. I had never heard of him before Drop. I saw him at Blackpool, and he just came out of nowhere with this amazing trick that was the hit of the convention, and brilliant. And you know, just because you're not a name or you're not known, like I wasn't, we talked about this before, I don't believe in fame. I really don't have much of an ego. I know I come across as very confident. I know I've got too much confidence, but hopefully not to the point of arrogance, because I would hate that. I don't really believe in fame. I think you have a profile, and sometimes your profile is here and sometimes it's down here. I was very lucky. Look Sharp came out and my profile went up here. When I started working for Alakazam, back up here again, you know, and Peter said to me, he said, now you're working for Alakazam, you're going to be known. People are going to know you. And there's a lot of responsibility with that. Because now I don't just represent myself. You might notice I never really post anything political or offensive on my social media, because not only now does it affect me, but it affects them.
That's obviously what I'm doing wrong.
Well, no, but it's sort of like, I have to make sure that, you know, and so it's, yeah, but it doesn't matter where you are in your journey. If you have an idea, it could take you from here to here in that, you know. And I've got a few tricks that will never ever be released or never see the light of day. I've got one that I was doing years ago called Whoosh, where I would spread the cards, put two face-up cards in it, close the deck up, instantly spread them again. The two face-up cards have now moved from the edges of the deck to the middle and have trapped one card between them. It's quite a convoluted method, more of a fun thing. People liked it. And then I was at a convention with Alex Pandrea, and he had a trick, I think it's called Prisoners, which was exactly the same trick, 1 million times better. And then yesterday, Chris Congreve, I was having lunch with him. He showed me a trick that from me to Alex Pandrea, 1 million times better. From Alex Pandrea to Chris Congreve's new version, another 1 million times better, much more commercial. And neither, both mine and Alex's decks had multiple gimmicks in it, his not. So it was like, wow, that's brilliant. And he goes, and then you can just carry on with your normal routine. And I was like, mind blown. So, but the point of here was, sometimes you'll come up with a trick and it'll all be really be done, or it will be, there'll be a better version come out, and you have to go, do you know what? I can't do it. Right. Yesterday in your offices, I showed you two tricks with a deck of cards, and you went, they're both on your Svengali deck project. Now, I wasn't using a Svengali deck, slightly different, but you go, the exact same presentations and routines and effects. And you have to go, perfect, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I'm really happy. Because even though I can't now do anything with them so much, you know, I can still work them and whatever, that's great. But even though I can't technically release them or whatever, which isn't always the goal, I can look at myself and go, you're thinking in the right way. Just because it's been done before, it means your brain is working the right way. You've come up with a trick independently. Now you've found out it's been done, but that doesn't matter because your brain is working. You're not standing on the shoulders of giants. You're not trying to fill the shoes of the giants. You're way above them. You're with them and you're on a level with them. So now you've just got to find the trick that hasn't been done, or and just keep going. My only advice to somebody, if you've got a trick, an idea, I would say, yeah, go and take it to a producer. And obviously I'm biased, but I would say, in my opinion, Alakazam is the best. Peter will look at the trick. The team will look at the trick. And almost go, I mean, when I took Look Sharp to Peter, it was a great trick. It was really great, getting great reactions. Peter then notched that up from 10 to 150. You know what I mean? He takes the trick and he goes, that's great, but let's do this, this and this. And you go, why didn't I think of that? And sometimes it's the smallest little thing. So doing, by going to a producer, the other thing as well is, with Look Sharp, nobody knew Wayne Goodman. A few people knew me from House of Illusion. A few people knew me from, you know, I would always be at conventions and I'm the guy in the bar doing tricks for everybody all the time. You know what I mean? So a few people, I had friends in magic, and that was great. When Look Sharp came out, I went from here to here. And, you know, by going to a producer, I was able to ride Peter's coattails, really. You know, I've got his platform now to elevate me to that. And now, instead of 10 people buying my trick, 500-600 people are buying it. And you get that kind of exposure from working with that. And it transposes over. So when I released my Sam the Bellhog, my storyteller deck, which a lot of people have known about because I've been doing it for 25 years and only just put it out. But when I put that out and I put an email out saying it's on pre-order, within the first week, I sold 45 of them and I've sold over 200 now. So that for me is a massive, on my scale, where I am on the levels, that is a massive commercial success for me.
Yeah.
But I've only got that because my profile has built up from before.
So I need to pick one of those up. That's one of the best story to tell a tricks.
Yes, I didn't think. But yeah, there's what's it called? It's just, you know, yeah, you if you've got something, if you've got an idea, show it to be do a bit of research and look at who you're going to present it to. I can say 100% guaranteed now, I will put my reputation on the line here and say, if you go to Alakazam, and again, I know I'm biased, I work for them, right? But I went to Alakazam with my first tricks. If you go to Alakazam, 100% you're not going to get ripped off. I'm not saying any other company will, right? I'm not saying that at all. But with Alakazam, you know, and if they say no, we're not interested, then that's the end of it, and you're free to go and take it somebody else or do it yourself. But it is worth going to a producer and going, you know, I'd like to have a look at this and give me an opinion and tell me if it's a commercial possibility. And just make sure you get, and don't necessarily go to one, go to a few people and say, I'm looking at releasing this. But the only other piece of advice I would say, if you have an idea and you want to protect the idea, is before you show it to anybody, video yourself doing the effect, go through the method of the effect, video the whole thing, upload it to YouTube as a private video so nobody can see it, and then you've got the date stamps. So if somebody goes, I came up with that last week, you can go, well, I've got the video from 2 years ago when I first started working on it, and you've got that
proof of concept.
And the only other piece of advice I would say is, don't be disheartened when things don't work, because I've got a few tricks, and I'm pretty sure you've got tricks in your cupboard that you've worked on that have failed. That I had one trick, I can't think which one it was. I think it was Imposter with my poster. I went through 50 different variations on that before I found the right combination for the face. On my insurance card too, the signature at the bottom of the card, I went through about 250, 300 different fonts for every single playing card, to find one that when you turn it upside down looks like a signature. That's a lot of work, a lot of effort, months of work, constantly going through and being disheartened because it's not working, to finally get, you know, to get it to work. But when it does work, bang, you know what I mean? It's like, yes, it's a great moment. And just keep going. And if something doesn't work, put it aside, come back. My Heckler book, Parabellum, that took me almost 30 years to write it, because I would write a load of chapters up and then shelve it, go off to the ships, come back, write another 300, 400 pages, boom, shelve it, come back. Oh, that's rubbish, scrap it, start again, boom, boom. And I kept shelving it and kept shelving it. And it was only at the very beginning of COVID that I went, right, I'm doing this. And I wrote it and I finished it and I put it out, and it was a great feeling. But just because something doesn't work at that moment, I'm back to it. Put it on the shelf, come back to it in a year's time, come back to it in 2 years' time, 10 years' time. You know, just don't give up on it. If it's really not going to work, then fine. But you can look at it and go, I created that. Didn't work, but, you know.
That's, I think, really good advice, yeah.
I'll say one very, very quick thing. It's one of my favourite quotes from a movie. It's from National Treasure. And it's Edison, I can't remember the exact number, but something like Edison created 300 light bulbs before he found the one that worked. And he didn't think I failed 300 times. He created 300 light bulbs that wouldn't work before he created the one that would work.
Yeah, and
it's the positivity, the look at it. You don't go negative, 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 positive. You go, they didn't work. I now know that that system won't work, so I can avoid that pothole next time. But now I've found the one that has worked.
You're absolutely right. I have a degree in business entrepreneurialism. And for my dissertation, I did a comparison between James Dyson and Richard Branson. And I can't remember the exact figure, but it was something like James Dyson went through 1,000 and something different variations of the dual cyclone system before he made it work. So in other words, he failed over 1,000 times and went back to the drawing board every single time.
Yeah.
And then eventually he got it right, made him, you know, multi-millionaire. But it's that tenacious attitude. It's that never give up.
And he could have quit after the 10th one and gone, wow.
I think I would have quit at number one, let alone number. Can you imagine how you felt at number 1,047? let's just shelve the vacuum cleaner thing.
If I don't think you would have quit at number one. I think if you're into that thing and you know that system, you know that industry, like with cards, that's like saying, oh, you're trying to do a card trick, didn't work, so you just got rid of it. No, you think, okay, well, I'll try a different method. I'll try a different course. I'll try a different thing. But yeah, once you get past 10 or 20, you start thinking to yourself, yeah, maybe this isn't viable. It's not going to work. And to go up to like into the thousands and just, but yeah, but you've only got to find that one that does work. Yeah. You've only got to find that one. And if it's a choice of, if somebody said to you, you've got to find one or you've got to find a thousand, finding one isn't that difficult.
Mm.
But sometimes you've got to get through that thousand to get to that one.
Yeah.
And where you as a person, that depends on you then. But if the passion is there and if you can do it, just keep pushing forward. And the other bit of advice I'd say is get a circle of friends around you who you can trust, who will be truthful with you, so that when you're doing stuff, you can go, does that look okay or does it look a bit crap? And if they go, yeah, it looks a bit crap, okay, the method works, I need to work on that now. Or they'll go, that looks brilliant, but that needs a bit of work there. And you need those people not to tear you down, to build you up and help. Yeah. And every one of my books, every one of my tricks has a long list of credits at the back for the people who have supported me and helped me. Even if they've made one tiny suggestion, their name goes on the credit, because it's so important to me, because I couldn't do what I do, performance, creator, author, any of that stuff. I couldn't do that without the people who are behind me and who are supporting, not behind me, but who are supporting me. I couldn't do it. And I don't think anybody can. I think you need those people. Like I go back to the very beginning of the interview. You need a good team around you. If you've got a good team, you know, it's plain sailing.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree with you. Couple of questions on creativity before we move on. Very quick fire. So okay. Number one, would you consider ever going to another production company? I know you work with Alakazam, you produce a lot of stuff yourself. If you had an idea and you thought, you know what, this feels like a Penguin Magic product, this feels like a TCC thing, this feels like a, you know, whatever. Would you consider going to somebody else?
I think because of my loyalty, I would always offer it to Peter first.
Yeah.
And if Peter said it's not for Alakazam, then I would be open to, you know, if Penguin came to me and said, we really like this trick, could we produce it? Yeah, I'd be open to that. I think I'd love to have a trick out with Penguin. You know, I have released stuff with other, my very first release wasn't Look Sharp. My very, very, very first release was Lord of the Bling with Magic Box, which was like where you open your jacket and inside is a load of rings.
I know Lord of the Bling, it's very good, yeah.
It's one of my favourite ring flights. And I do love it, and I really should get it back out again. I haven't used it for a long time, but yeah. So I would be open to it. But I think my loyalty would be to Alakazam first of all.
Okay.
And I think if you find a company that you enjoy working with, then you know, I think most people would stick with that company. But yeah, I would be open to other companies if they asked. But my loyalty would always be and will always be with Alakazam.
Great answer. Here's another question for you. And this is something that I'm interested in hearing. So I had a conversation with Nemid the other day. We were out filming live performances for a few projects. And we sat down for a drink in between performances. And the subject of the stuff that I've released over the years comes up. And he said, you've created some amazing stuff. I film it all. I know all the stuff that's coming out. I don't think, no matter how hard you try, you're ever going to beat Chop. Not that the other stuff isn't as good as or better than Chop, but if you asked 100 people to name a Craig Petty trick, the first thing that they would probably come up with is Chop. It sold thousands of units back in the day. It sold thousands of units since with Penguin. It continues to be in their top 10 seller. He said, I think you've peaked, and I don't think you're ever going to eclipse Chop, which made me a bit sad, to be perfectly honest. But I kind of understand where he's coming from. And I think he might be right. You know, I mean, I've bought some amazing stuff out and stuff I'm very proud of that's had great reviews, but really, it always comes back to chop for a lot of people. So my question to you is, do you think have you beaten Look Sharp? Are you ever going to, or is that going to be the trick that defines you when it's all said and done and people talk about your legacy?
No, I don't think I'll ever beat Look Sharp, only because of, it was an instant bestseller, and it was such a powerful, coming from a complete nobody as well, it kind of came out of left field and just took the magic world by storm. And it all of a sudden I'm catapulted into this whole new aspect of my world where everyone knows me. And I mean, my daughter loved it the first time she came to Blackpool with me, and people come up to me and asking for a photograph or an autograph, and everybody just got, I love Look Sharp. Look Sharp's my number one trick. I've got one all, and people bring them out of their pockets and stuff like that. And my daughter was going, why do these people want pictures with you, Daddy? And I'm like, I don't know. and it's a lovely thing. I'm not saying anything bad about it because I love it, and I love the hearing back from people and stuff. But it was, I don't think it'd look sharp. I could, but I think the closest I've come to it, the two tricks that I get a lot of love and feedback from now is my top change and my shadow steel, and I get a lot of people compliment me on them. And I put up a video recently of me at a wedding doing the shadow, and I just get lots of people going, that's great. And the day after I posted that, a lot of people bought it from my site. But I must have got about 150 or 200 messages from people I've never met or spoken to, just going, that's lovely. That video is amazing. And just not saying, can I buy it or anything like that, just literally, that's amazing. That's beautiful. I don't see how you're doing that. I've watched it 50 times. I can't see what's happening. And just boom, 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 boom. And I was really overwhelmed by it. I had to kind of, go, wow, to get that kind of recognition back from my peers and my industry is an amazing thing. But yeah, I don't think I'll ever beat Look Sharp just because of it was a game changer. It's one of those tricks where people go, it happens in their hands, it's proper magic. It's my chop.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And ironically, both of them use Sharpie
Yeah.
markers.
You showed me something earlier on. And it anytime anything with a Sharpie comes out now, doesn't matter what it is, all the I know Wayne Fox did some and David Penn and there's been and Rick Merrill when Rick Merrill appeared on the scene and all that kind of stuff and anything with a Sharpie pen now, I instantly get tagged or I get videos sent to me. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? I am the Sharpie guy. It's sort of like anytime something with a Sharpie happens, oh my God, this would work so well with Look Sharp. Oh my God, you like Sharpies. Have you seen this one here? And it's really lovely. I do love it. And it's, I mean, I'm always doing pen manipulation. Sharpies is my, I've said that when I do die, I want to be, when I go, either cremated or buried under the tree or whatever I do. A sponge ball, a Sharpie, a coin, a pack of cards, and a Rocky Raccoon. And that's going on my journey with me.
That'll do it.
That's it. But they're the things that have been with me on my journey my whole career. I couldn't imagine not doing sponge balls or doing something with a Sharpie or doing Rocky Raccoon in my kids show. They are absolute staples and literally part of who I am now. So yeah, but yeah, Look Sharp for me is it's on, it's a defining effect.
Perfect.
I'm very proud to have my name with it as well,
You should do it. It's amazing. It's an amazing effect. It really is. It's just brilliant. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I always have it with me. All righty. Right. Okay. So we've talked about since COVID, how you've exploded in this creative space. But you've still found time to perform. You're still performing as much as ever before. Have you seen a shift in your gigs? Like, I mean, when we did the first interview, you were talking about very proudly, you do family shows, you do corporate shows, you do weddings, you do kids shows, you do close up, you do stage, you do comparing. Literally, you've done everything that there is to be done. Very eclectic, which very few people do. Very few people have the ability to be able to literally walk in front of any audience and captivate them. And that's something that you've always been very proud of. Moving out of COVID, two questions. One, is that still the case? Are you still doing a bunch of different stuff? And two, how are you finding time juggling your lectures, your convention appearances, developing tricks, going through the process of producing them, along with everything that it takes to run a magic business and also go out and perform?
So it is a juggling, feet juggling. And with all that as well, work for Alakazam, you know, it is a full-time thing. I have a, well, for good or for bad, really, I don't stop. So, and I'm pretty sure they're all the same as me. So even if I'm sat in my home and I'm watching a movie, I'm doing something, you know, I'm on the Alakazam chat, or I'm working on design, or I'm editing a video. I've converted my dining room into a studio. So now I've got multiple cameras in there and a backdrop. I've still got the wall with the stars on it, but I use a backdrop now. It's like a blue backdrop, and I've got some lights in there. So I'm filming my own material there as well. But it is a juggling feat. And yeah, I am still working, you know, every single kind of show. I've noticed some industries have dropped off a little bit. Things like, I don't do as many trade shows as I used to. And I would like to try and get back into the trade show industry. But I know that industry has shifted a bit. And sometimes, like, I don't do many holiday parks anymore. And I don't mind that so much either, because I'm getting older now and I don't really want to be driving, you know, up to there and then down to there and then over to there and then over to there. So that doesn't really faze me as much. But yeah, you know, the industry shifts and they go, oh, we've had Wayne Goodman, now we're going to try somebody else, or now this is happening, or now we're not doing that anymore. And so you have to be able to adapt and move with the market. But yeah, I mean, I'm still really, really busy. I've got, so yeah, it is hard, but you make it work, you know. So when I'm sat at home in the morning, I get up, I check my emails, I do anything I need to do with the emails, contracts, etc., like that, respond to inquiries, blah, 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 jump on the Alakazam chat, do that, have a quick check of some of the stuff that I'm working on new material. I'm very lucky because if I'm working on new tricks, but I've got two weddings that day or four weddings over the weekend, then I can take those tricks to the weddings and I'm now gigging, but I'm also doing product development and I can combine the two. So it's very lucky. It's not like I'm an artist and I've got to go out and do a show and then come back and do three paintings. You know, I can take them with me and then come home and go, right, that doesn't work, that needs to change, and that's perfect. You know, it does, like, fit. But I think, you know, yeah, I don't stop. So from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, my brain is engaged in that, and I can't help it. It's always been like that. You know, it's not like I'm pushing myself too hard. This is how I am. And yeah, it works. But say that, sometimes I do shut down. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people who know me, you know, that I go to cafes. There's a couple of cafes in town that I go to. One of the cafes, Vic's Victoria, which we went to, they do that lovely chili jam and stuff. They, you know, before it was Vic's Victoria as well, it was another cafe called Coffee & Co. And I wrote my first, I think it was like 7 or 8 books in there. I'd go down there and I'd take my laptop and I would write. The Grace Kitchen is the other one I go to where my daughter works as well. And I like to go in there. And I tend to find that if I'm there, I don't procrastinate so much. So if I'm at home, I'll go to the washing up. I've got to put some washing on. I'll put a movie on. I like this bit. I'll watch it. Down there, put my headphones on and I work. But sometimes it's nice just to do that and to relax. But I never stop. You know, so I was on a train and there was a family next to us and it was a long train journey. I can't remember where I was going. I think it might be in Blackpool. And within 10 minutes, I was chatting to them. 5 minutes after that, I was doing a show for the whole cabin and the whole compartment. And that's me. That's what I love to do. I know some magicians go, oh, no, I would never do that. When I'm not working, I want to be quiet. And that's great. That's you. But it's not me. So for me, boom, I'd rather do that and just kick out and just share what I do. And yeah. But it is a juggle. It is a juggle to make everything work. But I think you find your system and you go with it. I know you're the same. You've got nonstop kids. You've got slightly unusual. You've got your product development stuff, you've got your filming, you've got your and then on top of all of that, you've got Ryland, who's kicking it as hard as he can. And then on top of that, you've got Fear to think about as well, and her personality, and her make sure she gets as much attention as Ryland does, and isn't left out, which she isn't. And obviously, you know, your marriage, you've got to make sure that works. I know that you and Sarah work together, but also you've got to make sure you've got time for that as well. And I think it's like anything, really. I think you find your route, and if it's meant to be, everything will slot together, and then it's plain sailing. I think if I tried to stop one now, I think if I went, like, do you know what, I'm going to stop performing, it would kill me. It would be like, I can't do it. I might be okay for a week, and then I'd be biting at the bit. I'd be like, I've got to get out of the form. And likewise, if I stopped developing tricks and working and stuff, I'd be sitting there going, that's a great idea. No, I'm not doing it anymore. Oh, I'll do it, you know, and I wouldn't be able to do that.
That's killer. That's killer. Which brings us to one of the big things that you've done since COVID, which is the New Market Magic Meetup, the New Year Market Shindig. Which is now going into its third year. Year one was at the back of a very dodgy pub.
It was so dodgy. They had a quiz in there the other night. I went in. Do you know what the first question was? What are you looking at? It is a very rough working men's club. And actually, I'll be 100% transparent now. It was a great little room. It was very cosy. And they loved us in there because I think they took more money behind the bar that one day than they do the rest of the year. But I went in there a few months after with Nicholas Mavresis and my daughter and her friend Tavy. And while we were in the back room playing pool, a massive fight kicked off in the other side. And I said to myself then, I can't bring people back here if that's the kind of people that are in there. I knew they were a bit rough, but this was a proper kickoff. And then I got you booked at RAF Hollington for a family day that I do. And afterwards, we went out for lunch and dinner with Ryland and Kat. And we walked past that venue, and I said, I did look at getting that venue for the New Market meetup because it wasn't called the Shindig then, but I couldn't afford it. And that's when you said, well, I'm very happy to sponsor the event and we'll pay for the room, which I'm immensely grateful for. And thank you again for that. But then when I went in to speak to them, they were fully booked. And then I went to the Heath Court where we do it, and I spoke to them there. And not only did they kind of, give us carte blanche on the room for the whole day, we got a better rate than we would normally get. Because I think if we wanted it for the whole day, it's normally double what we are paying for it. But because they know me and I've helped them in the past, we get it for this preferred rate. But they also offered us a 15% discount on any of the hotel rooms, which is lovely because people now, if they want to stay there, can get a nice discount on the price. And it grew. Last year was bigger than the year before. This year it's getting bigger again, and we've really adapted it. So this year, there's going to be two lecturers. We've got the amazing Martin Pierce, who I think is alongside yourself. And I'm going to be honest here: you, Chris Congreve, Martin Pierce, Peter, Nicholas Mavresis, David Jonathan. I think you stand out for me as producers of or creators of very commercial effects, very commercial, very, very easy, not easy to do, but easy to perform. Chris showed me a few tricks yesterday that I was flabbergasted by. Nicholas, whenever I see him, has always got something, and I go, well, that's just genius. You, I mean, yesterday, I'm not going to say anything about it, but yesterday you showed me something that I've already raved to you twice about today. That is so simple and so clever and will knock the feet out from everybody who sees it when they see it and they go, why has that never been done before? And then there's little known people as well. Yesterday you showed me a magic wand by SEO Magic. That is beautiful and is going straight in my kid show. I don't even use wands in my show, but that one is going straight in my kid show. I'm going to get 5 minutes out of that, and I'm going to use it as a repeating gag through my show. And it's so nice and so clever. I've completely got off tangent now, haven't I? But yeah, what are we talking about? Oh yeah, the shindy. So yeah, so it's yeah, and I wanted to bring people together, and I wanted to have somewhere where we could session and jam. And one of my favorite memories of the first shindig was, or the meetup then, was walking into the room, because I was running around like a blue-ass fly all day, trying to organize it, because it was in like a back room bit. I had to go out and meet people and bring them in because I couldn't find it. And walking in and seeing like 30 or 40 people in there, some on the floor, some at the tables, kids, adults, and almost everybody had a deck of cards in their hand, or a coin, or sponge balls, or a trick. And they were all showing and teaching and learning and helping. And I'm not going to lie, teary-eyed. I was like, this is what magic is about. This is what magic is all about. This is people sharing with nothing about, oh, I'll teach this, but it's going to cost you 20 quid. Boom. You want to learn this routine? I'll show you this routine. Boom. And it was just amazing. And I was like, you know, I want to do this again. I want this to become a regular thing where we all meet up and we just jam. But then last year, we did get a couple of people say they really loved it. They really enjoyed it. A lecture would have been nice. A lecture would have been cool, just to break the day up a little bit. So, and then another person, I had a couple of people say it would have been cool to have a couple of dealers here. So I've made it very, very select. So we've got Martin Pierce, who is an amazing creator, a very commercial creator. We've got, I can't say anything about this at the moment. But Martin Pierce and I, and a couple of other people, Martin's wife and another magician, Paul Coombs, have something happening at the end of this month that I'm not allowed to talk about until after it's happened. But we'll come back and I'll talk about that another time. Very exciting. It's not magic, although it is magic. It's not magic. And yeah, just excited. If you know Martin, you might guess what it is, but there we go. So we've got Martin Pierce, and then we've got Andy, who we were talking about earlier on. Andy is doing the second lecture, which will be amazing. And Andy's so knowledgeable. If you need help with something, and that's the whole idea of the day, you can come along, people will be teaching. And then we've got Monster Magic's going to be there. Mike Sullivan with Dietrich is going to be there. He can't guarantee Wayne will be there, but if he can get Wayne there, he'll bring Wayne along. But logistically, that's becoming more difficult because of Wayne's condition. I'd love Wayne to be there. Wayne's still one of my biggest heroes in magic. I grew up.
It's amazing.
Yeah, just the best. We've got Monster Magic, we've got Dietrich, we've got Chris Congreve is going to see if he can come along with his Stellar Magic. Alexander are going to have a stand there. And we've got, I don't want to leave anybody out, so let me just go here. I haven't slept very much last night, I'm not blaming you. Hopefully Secret Service are going to be there, and of course Jamie Dawes is coming along as well. They're going to have stands there as well. So a couple of dealers, not very many, just nice, come along, you can see some material, spend some time with them, which at places like Blackpool, you don't have a lot of time to spend with the dealers because they're so busy, so you can have a chat with them. Oh, can you show me that? Can you show me that? And then in the evening time, we're doing a show, which I always compare the show. I invite along 20 or 30 people that I know, friends that I know, to come along. I don't charge them for the tickets. They can come along as my guests, just so there's a good muggle audience there. And then what we normally do is we have a pot out and I raise money for a cause. And so the people who come along, they're not charged for a ticket, but they can throw some money in the pot. Last year, my daughter's band played, and they need new instruments at the youth club, and they raised 150 quid for the youth club. So it's a nice cause. And I like to give directly to the people it's going to affect, not give it to some charity that takes off 15% or whatever. I want to give it direct. So this year, there's a little girl in Newmarket called Kiki. I think she's 10 or 11, and she's got cancer. And she's still full-bodied, able-bodied. She's completely bald. She went to school the other day and she felt very comfortable at her new school, went the next day without her hair, and I think she found that a bit more challenging. She's a lovely girl. Her mum is amazing. Her brother is amazing. So I'm inviting them along to the shindig, to the show. She's going to be my guest of honour. I think she's going to love Ryland because they're similar ages. And I think when she watches Ryland, that's going to be a real moment to see somebody like her age doing something like that. I think because all the kids love Ryland when they watch him perform. I think it's going to be great. I think we've got Nia Evans on the show, who I've become a bit of a mentor to, and I love Nia. She's a great magician, very good. She keeps saying I'm her mentor, and then she does stuff, and I've got no idea how you just did that with cubes and stuff. And then all the money raised throughout the day, we're going to do a raffle in the daytime for the magicians, and then all the money we raise, I'm just going to give to Kiki's family, and just say, look, there's 50 quid, there's 100 quid, there's 200 quid there. That's for you. Go out. Kiki can go shopping, take her out for dinner, have a day at the seaside, do something for you. That's for you. That money's for you. And I'm just going to give them all the proceeds for the day. I think it's the right thing to do. Like, I've talked about this so many times. When I had the fire, I lost everything. And a lot of people rallied behind me and gave me money and support and help. And I want to give back. I want to give people something back for that. I really feel, and it doesn't matter if I raised £1 million, it would not be enough for what people, you know, gave to me and the love and support and care that I got from that. So for me, it's very important to give back. But the show, so going back to the show, so I'm going to compare the show. All the guests who are coming will be my friends or people that I've done shows for, etc. So I kind of feel like a bit obligated that they come along and I don't do anything. They might feel a bit like, oh, we came to see Wayne. So we dispel that. I compare the show. And we've got Nia Evans, who does cubes and cabaret. She's great. Martin Pierce is going to perform.
I've seen Martin perform on stage before. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm so looking forward to it. Yeah, he's going to be great. And then we've got, at the moment, we're not sure yet, but Ryland's going to do a special performance.
It's going to be the first time that he's going to perform in front of magicians his new Orange Juice act, amongst a couple of other things.
Which I have seen, and it is amazing. I've seen a video, but I've not seen it live.
I actually think it's better than the Harry Potter act.
I think it's my favourite act of his. It's very him. It's very Harry Potter is brilliant and amazing and great and fantastic and very magical, but it's still Harry Potter. It's not Ryland Petty. This is Ryland, and it's his attitude and his comedy and his humor and it's him. It's very, very him. It is a true. I remember reading The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole and seeing myself in that book because I was that age and going, yeah, I do that. Yeah, that's me. And when I see that, when I saw the Orange Juice act, I was like, that's Ryland. That's him in his place, being Ryland, doing Ryland. I think it's my favorite thing he's ever done. But at the moment, he will either finish the whole show or he'll finish the first half. I'm going to say right now, at the moment, I'll probably have him finish the first half because he's also going to be involved at the end.
Yeah.
Second half, we've got Thomas Maloney, who, if you don't know, don't worry, nobody does. I'm in Tom's house right now. Give us a shout, Tom. Give us a shout.
Shout out.
Yay. Tom's great. So Tom's
amazing. Tom's wonderful.
And Tom's really, really inspiring as well. He's come a long way in a very short distance, in a very short time. And he's gone from, again, he's very much following my and your route here and Nemeth's route of, you know, he's got into magic a few years back and he's already doing kid shows, close-up, cabaret. Oh,
Thomas is incredible. I think he's one of the most inspirational magicians in the world. He's only been doing magic like 3 years or something, and it shows genuinely that somebody with no natural talent, charisma, ability, or skill whatsoever can still be a success in this industry.
I mean, it's testament. It's testament to the low educated.
No, honestly, it's flight time. It's putting yourself in uncomfortable positions and getting as much flight time as you can.
You ever seen Alf Holly deals with you?
Yeah.
I had a great thing this morning. I got to see Holly, Tom's wife, how she dealt with Tom to get him to do the ironing for the kids' uniforms this morning. And it was a masterclass in, yeah, you're doing it, get on with it. It was a moment of, and then Holly comes through and gives me a nice cup of tea and Tom goes, do I not get one? Not until you've done the ironing. I'm like, yeah, boom, in your place. So we've got Tom's opening the second half with a brand new effect he's just got, which is going to be great. I'm very excited to say that we've got Nemed Phoenix, who we spoke about earlier, is going to be on the bill, and he's going to be doing, I'm not going to say what he's going to be doing, but he's going to be doing a routine that, for me, I would love to have this filmed and used as a masterclass in misdirection, comedy, and timing.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
He's the only person who does this routine that I know of now. Nobody else I know of does it. And he does it just
incredible. You know what? I would love to do it. But do you know the problem? I don't think I could do it as well as Nem.
Yeah.
So why would I do it? You want to see that trick? Watch Nem. Because it is insane. I was stood backstage at Rugeley and I was watching it. And I'm watching it from behind. And I'm watching it going, this is amazing. Just the timing and the misdirection. And he's doing nothing. He's just talking to somebody with a card and he's doing nothing. And the audience is in, because it's one of those tricks, I won't say what it is, but it's one of those tricks where the audience is kind of in on it and they can see what's happening, but the person on stage can't. And it's just so cool. I will say this right now, and as much as I love Ryland and you guys and everything else, if you come to Newmarket for any reason, watch Nemed do this trick.
Yep, I agree. So
that is worth the time, and the tickets for the whole day is £20. So it's not a lot of money, but it's worth 1,000 times that to watch this. It's a masterclass in performance and in timing and comedy and mystery. It's just so cool.
It is.
And then to finish off with, we've got yourself and the wonderful Matt.
Yeah, me and Matt are doing a two-person show together. So we're doing some stuff people have never... Nobody ever... We're not really doing an illusion show, although we are bringing an illusion. But I keep what I do on stage very separate, really, to magic. Normally, if you see me performing to magicians, I'm only really doing close-up. Occasionally, I might do a cabaret show. Obviously, I've done bits at Newmarket the last few years.
Your cards are great.
Thanks. But this is the first time that people are going to see me working with Matt, and we're going to do, I think, 3 or 4 bits that we do in the illusion show, the front of cloth pieces. We are bringing an illusion that we're going to do for everybody with Ryland in there, so it's going to finish off with an illusion. But yeah, it's going to be a fun piece. It's going to be people are going to see a different side of me that they don't normally see.
It's going to be amazing, and I really, really can't wait. I really can't. So very quickly, I'll give you a quick brief description of the weekend, because it kind of runs over the weekend. It's only on the Saturday, but on the Friday night, I paid the Grey's Kitchen. He's done me a great deal. I paid him a couple of hundred quid, and they're going to put on a spread of food. It'd be like grazing food, because that's what they're doing there. So people can go up and grab a few bits of this and bits of that. Normally we go out for a meal. So the first year we went to the Mexican, last year we went to Humburger, which is a burger place. But the problem is we're all sat round the table, and it's you and me at one end chatting and stuff and discussing the next day. And then someone say down the other end, and they can't really join the conversation. And it did bug me the last couple of years. It was a good night. It was a great atmosphere. People are chatting and stuff. But in the Grey's Kitchen, what we can do is you can go and get some food. They can come and sit with you. They can come and sit with me. They can go and sit with the other person. You can gather around the table. And it's much more in feeling with the Saturday that you can move around and session and jam. And you're not sat for 2 hours in one place. You can go and join in other conversations. And I'm paying for that. So that's going to be paid for out of my own pocket. And anyone who comes along who's staying on the Friday night can come down and join us for that. You pay for your own drinks, but you can come in and have as much food and join in. It's going to be a lovely evening. Saturday, we start early, officially 11 o'clock, but we're normally in there from before setting up and stuff. And there's a bar there and you can have breakfast there. And then we run through to 11 o'clock at night. So it's a long day. Lots happening all the way through. It's going to be, but it's a great day and it flies. And then on the Sunday, if you stay over the Saturday night, on the Sunday, if you book your hotel, don't book breakfast, because we all go into town and we'll go to the Grey's Kitchen again, or we'll go to Victor Victoria, or we'll go somewhere and take over. There's spoons there as well, and we'll all have breakfast together. And you can buy your own breakfast and have as much or as little as you want that way. And we'll all go out for breakfast and have a bit of a laugh. And it's a really nice, chilled out thing. I normally take Fear and Ryland, and I'm taking Tom's kids. They're going to go and do some pottery. And if anybody wants to come and join that, then I can give you the details for that. And we're going to take over the pottery place, and they're going to do some pottery. And then, yeah, it's just a really nice, chilled out Sunday morning. And then normally midday-ish, early afternoon, people head off home. And it's just a lovely weekend.
Great. It's the best 20 quid you can spend. And you actually get to sit down and just hang out with people. You know, I'm going to be there just hanging out the entire time. So,
well, your bit isn't. I've got a bit for you as well that we've discussed a couple of times. You just say to me, I'll do whatever you want. But normally, because you do it anyway, I think maybe like before the second lecture, a couple of hours before that, like maybe after lunch, we're going to have a bit of a workshop going on inside. And what I'd like to do, just to get it going really, is maybe have you at one table, me at another, and to teach something, but then encourage people. Oh, so we start the workshops off, but then encourage other people to go, oh, you can do the Elms account. Who would like to learn the Elms account? Yeah, everyone check around. This is Tom. Tom's going to teach you the Elms account. And then we can move back and let it carry on and flow through, you know. And that for me, again, going back to it, that for me, again, was one of the best bits about last year and the year before, is watching people, you know, sorry, get rid of that phone call coming in, watching people who, you know, they're just, they're not names, they're not regularly known people, they're not this or that, but teaching their subtleties on moves or this or that. And it was just lovely to watch these people, you know, putting themselves there and going, oh, I'll teach you that, and just seeing friendships flourish and you know, these bonds build and build and build. And it was so lovely at Blackpool this year, the one that's just gone, where people would come up to my stand and just go, you're up, Wayne, haven't seen you since Blackpool, since Newmarket. What a great weekend. Thank you so much. And that's all they said. And then they move on. And it was just lovely to hear those comments from people that they had such a lovely time and they've made new friends. And now, you know, and it was just brilliant. So I can't wait for it. I would love, you know, we can't take hundreds of people. It's not like Blackpool. I think we have a capacity. Last year, I think we had about 60 people, 60 or 70 people. We could probably fit comfortably about 150 to 200. But I think it's nicer with the, you know, it's really nice with that, you know, maybe like 100 would be in there, you know. So, yeah, I'm not going to limit space. But, yeah, it's quite nice with that you know, number. Everyone can chat and just have a lot of fun. There'll be a couple of dealers there. There'll be a couple of lecturers there. I will bring along a box of stuff that I don't want anymore. People are welcome to throw stuff into it. I'm not charging for it. I don't want people to come in and just start grabbing everything. It's more as well because there's a few youngsters there for them to have a few tricks. There'll be a pot there. And if people want to throw in a quid or five or whatever, they can. And all that money that goes in that pot will go into the pot for Kiki. So, you know what I mean? It's like an honesty box. Just drop a couple of quid in and take what you want. There'll be some DVDs in there. There'll be some other tricks as well. So people can come and help themselves to all that. Plus the dealers. The dealers have all agreed to donate something for the raffle. So there'll be some nice prizes there. I'm going to put in a bullet time, which is worth 90 quid. I'm going to put in a couple of other tricks as well. So you better, you know, and for the cost of a raffle ticket, you could win one of them. And I think it's just going to be a really lovely day with a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, a lot going on.
So do I, yeah. I think it's going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it's the best 20 quid in magic. And it's really fun. It's my favorite convention. Me, Ryan and Sarah, Thea, we're all going to be hanging out there. You can get tickets and they are limited, but you can. There are still available tickets. You can get them from your magic shop, and also any tricks that you want to see that Wayne's produced, you can also see at the magic shop. Now, do you want to give me that URL, Wayne?
Yeah, it's www.wg, so Wayne Goodman, but it's the initials, wgmagicshop.com.
There you go, www.wgmagicshop.com. You've got tickets to the Newmarket Shindig on there. You've got all of Wayne's material. You've got all of his tricks. You've got all of his books. Don't forget, Wayne, and go back and look at the first interview. He's literally written a book on comedy, on restaurant magic, on wedding magic, on dealing with hecklers. The Jedi philosophy is absolutely amazing. So go check out all of that.
Almost all the books are available now as well as PDF downloads on there. So if you want to get the PDF and have it on your phone, so when you're at a gig, you can read a few chapters. They're all, and all the joke books and everything, they're all available on there. So
that's amazing. So make sure that you go check out all of that. And also, you know, if you need help and you want to speak to somebody really experienced, Wayne is one of the most helpful, nicest people that you will meet. Just connect with him on Facebook, or, you know, and if you've got any questions, any help, any support, anything, he is the guy that will always step up and help you.
I think, you know, I've had a lot of luck. I've had a lot of, I think sometimes you make your own luck, but I've had a lot of luck and a lot of help and a lot of support. And again, there's a guy I met last night called Alex, and he's had a difficult early adulthood. And he was quite honest with me about his situation. I'm not going to go into it, but he was a lovely, lovely young lad. So I think he's probably about 25 or something. And he's a really nice lad. And he was like, oh, I want to do weddings. He's got a wedding coming up for a friend of his. And I gave him some advice on that. And I said to him, here's my card. He wants to get into residencies. I said, here's my card. Give me a shout. Any advice, any help I can do, anything I can do to help you. And he went, I can't afford much. And I said, that's fine, because I'm not going to charge you anything. If you want help, call me up. I'll help you any way I can. Yeah, you know, just yeah. And that's, you know, it's not always about the money. It's not always about the, you know, the what's in it for me. It's about, I help him, he does well. In 10, 15 years time, he meets somebody, he helps them, and the community grows.
Absolutely. You know,
way we're helping each other. It can't always be about, I want this. Oh, you want that? It's going to cost you 10 grand. You want that?
Yep.
You've got to put me on a retainer. Oh, you want that? Oh, you've got to pay me for it. I don't work like that. I make a nice living. I support my family. I pay my bills most of the time. You know, it's,
yep.
I have a good life, and I live my life because I love what I do, because I'm able to do that, and everyone can. And you just got to give a little bit back.
Absolutely. 100%. Wayne, it's been great catching up with you. I know this is not going to be the last interview we do on Magic TV, because you are incredible, and I'm sure you'll be back again soon. But congratulations on the continued success, everything you're doing with Creating Magic, the performing, working with Alex Lam, and most importantly, the shindig continues to go from strength to strength, and that's a testament to your hard work, dedication, and you rock, you really do. So I want everybody that's watching this interview to do a couple of things. First of all, connect with Wayne if you don't already do so. And then second of all, go onto his shop if you're anywhere near Newmarket. We haven't said the dates. It's November the...
Sorry, it is. So we all meet up on the Friday night, which is the 8th of November.
Okay.
And all I really need, if you're coming along and you're coming to the Friday night, drop me an email, wayne@waynegoodman.co.uk. Or contact me through the WG Magic Shop and just say, we're coming on a Friday, just so I can get a list of the people who will be there, so I've got numbers. That's the 8th. The shindig is the 9th. And then breakfast and go home on the 10th, if you're staying for the full weekend.
So there you go. So 8th, 9th, 10th. You can just come along on the 9th if you want to. But if you're anywhere near Newmarket or anywhere nearby, come along. Hang out with me, hang out with Wayne, hang out with Matt, hang out with Nia, Ryland, all those guys, and Martin and Chris and everyone else. And make sure you buy something off his site, because everything that Wayne produces is amazing. 50% of his site is the 8-card brainwave variations, but I mean, there's a...
I've only got three.
I'm joking. This is... I'm just going to continue to go down that route till the day that I die. But no, Wayne's got some amazing stuff that's just super commercial that would just work in the real world. And if you haven't seen any of it, go look at the review shows that I've done on him, and then go and pick some stuff up, because it's great and you're supporting a really wonderful human being. But Wayne, you rock. You're amazing. I'll see you again soon. Thank you for being on the channel. I really appreciate it.
So I will very quickly add as well before I go. Yesterday we filmed a new video that will be hopefully shown soon as well, of a new 5x5. Can I say we did two of them? I just did.
So
there's one probably pretty soon, then one in another time. But yeah, we've got a new 5x5, and it's five completely different tricks that I didn't do on the last one. So when that comes out, make sure you check it out.
Boom. Make sure you check that out. Yeah, absolutely 100%. On behalf of Wayne Goodman, thank you so much for joining us here on Talk Magic. We've got a really cool Talk Magic coming up next Saturday as well, so make sure you check out that. Don't forget that Talk Magic is also on every single podcasting platform. So if you do want to listen to it and you're on the road, just go on Spotify, for example, type in Talk Magic and you'll be able to hear this full interview on there. But I will see you again soon. Don't forget the Q&A is coming up tomorrow as well as a review show special. But I'll see you again soon. My name's Craig. On behalf of Wayne Goodman, this was Talk Magic, and this is Magic TV.
Magic. Magic.
And the
magic.
World of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week, we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.